Curtis Pelzer, Office of Naval Research, Command Information Officer.
Well, let's start at the beginning with respect to customer experience. And in this context, we're talking about the customer being the agency or the unit's own employees, which I guess is a combination of uniforms and civilian personnel. Give us a sense of who it is you're serving here.
And so my customer base makes up about 1,200 personnel, 50% government civilian and military, with the other 50% making up government contractors. And I think, you know, overall, our experience is good to very good. Our customer experience is good to very good.
All right. And, well, what is it? Tell us about the initiatives you have going then to update HR processes and what your goals are here.
So HR processes, of course, we spend a lot of time looking at automation. And not to speak for our human resources and total force human capital professionals, you know, I think they're doing an outstanding job. However, I think there are areas where we can enhance our customer experience by providing additional automation to our offboarding and onboarding processes. I think that would help. You know, we look at reducing time that it takes to onboard personnel, given the state of our current work environment where employees are being offered numerous hiring incentives. Additionally, you know, when I look at the offboarding processes and providing that information to leadership when it comes to those metrics on why personnel are leaving the organization, I think it's also important to remember that exit interviews don't always tell the entire story. So having that complete picture where we can track the employee's life cycle, the employee journey, I think provides invaluable information to our leadership.
And actually, I want to back up a moment maybe and tell us the function of the command of the Office of Naval Research and the types of work people do, because I'm imagining people don't join the Navy maybe and go directly into the Office of Naval Research.
So the Office of Naval Research is arguably the premier research organization in our DoD services. We provide research in all aspects of supporting the Department of Navy, whether it comes to autonomy, directed energy, and things like that. So we're a research organization. As I mentioned, we're comprised of federal employees, civilian and military, as well as contractor personnel.
And where do people come from? That is to say, could someone have been, I don't know, in a different function of the Navy, either in uniform or civilian, and then migrate to the Naval Research Office?
Absolutely. So our personnel comes from, I mean, we look for talent wherever we can find talent, all over the world. We have a lot of PhDs that work in our organization. I think I heard at one point that we have probably the largest total of PhDs within probably any federal agency. I think that's the number that I heard. So most of these folks are trained scientists and research professionals, and they come from all over. Most come from major universities, highly educated, trained professionals.
So you have a diversity of situations. That is, people could be coming from the outside right straight into the office, or they could be transferring from within the Navy to the Office of Naval Research, or they could be coming from other parts of the federal government, not necessarily
yes,
the Navy.
Absolutely. Yes, our personnel. We also have a fairly large contingency of reservists. Naval reservists that also supports our command.
And you mentioned offboarding and onboarding. Let's talk about onboarding for a moment. What is the essential transaction set that it is that you're looking at for modernizing and maybe making a little bit more efficacious?
So in terms of our onboarding process, a lot of that process is manual. And when you look at when we identify someone that we're a potential hiring candidate, a lot of that initial interaction between that hiring candidate happens manually. And what we're looking to do is that once we make contact with that individual in terms of all the forms that they need to fill out to become a federal employee, or if they're transitioning in from another federal agency, is to provide all that information online in what we're calling a program or a hiring portal, where they log in and they are able to see all the information that they need in terms of completing forms and being able to transmit those forms back to the hiring manager. And then after the employee has been onboarded to the command, being able to automate the entire life cycle of that employee. So all those documents that were generated during the hiring process are made available to that employee. And then as the onboarding process is completed, the entire employee life cycle, that means provisioning IT assets, taking care of all their security needs in terms of their security clearances, and things like provisioning chairs, simple things like requesting a chair or office space. All of that information would then be provided online, accessible to the employee throughout their entire life cycle. So if someone spends 1 year within the organization, they have access to that information. Or if they're a long-term employee like I am, with 14 years with the Office of Naval Research, I have access to all that information.
It strikes me that when we talk about the customer, we're talking about probably a minimum of three people. It's the person coming in, onboarding themselves, but it's also maybe the IT department that has to provision them and make sure they have both software and hardware, and also their supervisor organization that has to make sure everything goes smoothly so that the supervisor's own life can go smoothly. Would that be a fair way of looking at it?
Oh, absolutely. So when I mentioned that end-to-end life cycle, right, that's everybody that's involved in the process. So not only just the employees, but the hiring managers, as well as the supervisors and the HR personnel as well.
And so this portal that you imagine then is really a two-way viewing type of situation, because the internal supervisory and provisioning groups would need access just as much as the person coming in would.
Oh, absolutely. So you can think of it in terms as roles. The system would provide for the individual roles that are needed to make sure that the employee life cycle is being met, and the things that the employee would need during the tenure of their life cycle. So, and I speak of this in terms of like life cycle, because I believe that there is a beginning, which is the onboarding process. And then if you would look at the sustainment of that employee is during their tenure, and then the offboarding process, which would entails like, how do you recover those assets that have been provisioned for the employee during their tenure with the organization? And then how do you successfully offboard that employee, making sure that they have everything that they need when they're departing the organization, making sure that we're recovering assets that may have been provisioned to the employee when they're departed the organization. And then, as I mentioned, you know, I think there's always valuable information that you can capture during that time period. So if you think about questions that may be asked by our leadership, is that, why are we losing personnel? Is there any information that we can gather from the employee? Generally, that information is gathered through an exit survey. And I believe that there's things that happen during the employee life cycle with the organization that you can gather that could give you some additional information to help you determine why an employee is leaving the organization. And that's not to say that it may be all for bad reasons, but I just think that if you're capturing that information along the way, maybe that provided a greater insight into why an employee is leaving an organization.
And if they are leaving, say, for another part of the Navy or another part of the Defense Department or another part of the federal government at large, if there was a way to send digital versions of their accumulated paperwork from their period of matriculation at the Office of Naval Research, that's going to help them down the line, you know, like, for example, retirement figuring from OPM standpoint. That's another giant paper process where if digital records went along with the employee, it might be all easier and faster.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, being a research organization, you know, and having a lot of scientists and research professionals, you know, I think having the information that they can take with them available to them in a single interface, I think would be helpful as well.
And so what's the status of, is there a specific project to bring this about at this point?
Yes, there is. We have an ongoing effort to modernize one of our systems that we currently use in-house, which manage our onboarding, offboarding process, as well as our asset provisioning. And as I mentioned, our security provisioning piece, where we provision government issued common access cards and things like that. So that the system is in place. It certainly needs to be modernized. And what I mean by that is making sure that that integration that needs to exist across the various departments, when you look at human resources, you look at IT, and you look at the command logistics office, which handles all the security aspects of an employee. Those things exist today, but they're kind of in individual silos. And what we're trying to do is make sure that that integration is seamless between not only the departments, but also between those various modules within our system to make sure that the information is being passed along. And we try to eliminate as much of the manual intervention that's needed to make sure things flow seamlessly within this automated interface.
And just as a detail question, will you include a provision for people to be able to upload documents such that they become digital and part of that electronic file?
Oh, absolutely. You know, being able to take information that doesn't exist or records that doesn't exist in the system through that automated process to be able to upload those into, say, a document library, I think would also greatly enhance the process as well.
And what about the issue of exceptions, questions, the need for customer support? A lot of agencies have call centers or they use shared services call center providers. Tell us more about the strategy for dealing with the questions and exception situations that seem to come up a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is one area that certainly post-pandemic that has changed the way that we operate. As the command information officer and the command information offices, this is one of the things that we do. We provide help desk support when it comes to break fixes, and we provide a number of services to our customers. But when you look at, you know, the types of transitions or transactions that we handle in terms of being able to provide help desk support and provision IT, hardware, training of our customers and upskilling our customers, we handle all of those things in the office of the CIO, and also to include software development, network operations, cybersecurity. And one area that we're seeing a growth in request is within our data and analytics program.
And by the way, what is the, do you have a metric for the number of transactions of onboarding and offboarding? I think you mentioned there's 1,200 individuals within the organization, billets. How many come and go in a year?
Yes, we do track metrics on that, but I think there's a better way of tracking those metrics. And once again, it begins with the onboarding process. If we're able to start capturing those metrics at the point of entry of that employee, I think it helps us do a better job of understanding the overall metrics on how many personnel that we onboard at any given time, what's the attrition rate, and then how many personnel that we offboard. So we do track metrics right now. A lot of that metrics gathering is being done manually, and what we're offering is a more automated way of capturing those metrics.
And a lot of agencies have been looking at automating contact. That is to say, it's great to talk to a person on the telephone, but there are bot situations that can handle lots of routine transactions, or bots such that when someone does reach a telephone operator, that operator will have all the data they need to be able to deal with that individual and not having the individual start all over again, this type of thing. Tell us your thinking and planning on that front.
Yeah, and certainly when it comes to AI and AI-enabled capability, this is one of the areas that we have been working extremely hard on. The challenge is identifying what data will be allowed, that will be accessible to these AIs and bots, and the challenge of making sure that data remains secure and making sure that we're not putting our data at risk. But certainly we have been looking at using bots, using robotic process automation to help streamline routine processes that we believe can be done better by a bot, or using an AI, and most certainly bring a level of efficiency to these processes like onboarding and offboarding of personnel and tracking personnel better. This is an area that we've been spending a great amount of time in.
Because, you know, the average person, I think, nowadays is more, I don't know, used to that kind of interaction, say, relative to 10, 25 years ago, even a few years ago, where people almost prefer the automation because it seems faster and more efficient. Fair to say?
Oh, absolutely. But once again, I'll go back, being a cybersecurity professional, always concerned about the protection of the data. So one area that we want to make sure that when we're providing this automation is that we keep the security aspect of that data. So you can imagine you're talking about personnel data. You're talking about how you protect that data. And if you think about doing the life cycle of that employee, we generate a lot of data about ourselves. So that data protection element, when you're talking about this level of automation using bots and AI, is the protection of that data so that data is not at risk.
And any thoughts of, say, applying the policies and personnel manuals and stuff related to the Office of Naval Research to generative programs such that within a limited data set for training, such that it stays accurate, people could get generated answers to questions about policy or procedures? A lot of agencies have been thinking about that, but maybe it's a little more complicated in reality than it is to describe.
It is, but to the extent that we can use AI, we certainly are applying it where we believe it provides that value. And when you look at generative AI, I tell you that is an absolute game changer. You know, to be able to query AIs for answers to questions is certainly something that we're looking at. When you look at our data and analytics program, we are building AI-enabled capabilities every single day. And these are taking systems that we've already built and then layering that generative AI on top of that to be able to better serve our workforce, to give them an additional capability that we previously didn't have prior to the advancement of AI.
And earlier, to get back to the basics here, you talked about the onboarding and, you know, release process for people. What about re-engineering those processes in the first place so that while you automate them and make them more efficient, you're not, you know, doing the proverbial modernizing of old logic or old, maybe overly convoluted process?
You're absolutely right. Generally, the way we looked at these problems when we look at automating processes, we would take the existing process, the existing manual process, and then we would just overlay some technology on top of that manual process. We found that over the years that just doesn't work very well, and it doesn't give you the level of efficiency that you're looking for. So looking at the process and automating the process as an automated process, I think absolutely is the best approach to automating processes. But layering automation over manual processes usually doesn't give you the level of efficiency that you're looking for. You just automated a manual process, and I don't think it works very well.
Yeah, so business process reengineering, I guess is what they used to call it, really goes hand in hand with modernizing.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And what are the metrics here? If you're looking at customer experience, customer, again, supervisor experience, employee experience, and maybe that of the ancillary service providers that impinge on a particular transaction. What are the metrics for resolution, satisfaction, customer experience, and so forth?
Well, and I'll speak for my department. being the IT service provider, I spend a lot of time looking at metrics. I look at metrics when it comes to call resolution. I looked at metrics when it comes to resolution time, ticket volume, service level agreements and compliance. But for me, I looking at all that data certainly provides me insight to how well I'm meeting my customer needs. But I tell you one thing that's the most gratifying in terms of customer satisfaction is the messages that I receive from the customer to say, hey, well done, that your team has done something that I didn't think was possible, or the response time, or the level of satisfaction that the customer received from that support that they received from my team. So the metrics certainly gives you insight into how well your team is performing, whether or not your customers are satisfied, and that's the real hard data. But when someone is willing to take time out of their schedule to send you a note to commend the support that they receive from a member of your team, I receive so much gratification from that, because it tells me that we're doing things the right way, that my team is doing what it takes to make sure that customer experience is as good as it can possibly be. And when I look at, whether we're responding to our customers, servicing the needs of our customers, and more importantly, that communication aspect to the customer. Customer want to make sure that things are being communicated properly, that we're making things as easy as we possibly can, so that they're not spending time out of their day worrying about the information technology that we're providing to us. Being customer facing, these folks are solely responsible for providing that positive customer experience and that customer outcome. So we look at the data, but having those notes that come in through email or chat message saying job well done, I think is really something that I look forward to.
And just a final question, we talked about onboarding and releasing employees. Are you going to be looking at some of those processes in between to modernize those also?
Oh, absolutely. And when I speak of that end to end, that means from onboarding to offboarding and everything that happens in between. My customers are recurring customers because we provide IT support. So when we provision IT hardware, there's a tech refresh process that happens throughout that employee lifecycle where we give you a computer, and at some point in time, we're going to have to give you a new computer because that computer has become outdated. And then when you look at all the software updates, so for me, it's a continuous process. So those are the things that happen in the middle, and we're certainly looking at all of those transactions, if you will, that happen in the middle of an employee's life cycle, and making sure that we can automate as many of those processes as we possibly can as well.